And now a closer look at the historical and economic factors some say lead to conflicts like those in Seattle. Herb Boyd is editor of The Black World Today, an online publication that focuses on the global black experience. And Chido Wangu is founder and publisher of U.S. Africa Online, which explores issues of African immigrants. Although reported tensions between American blacks and Africans are not new, I asked both gentlemen to give their perspectives on what we've seen in recent years.
Here in Harlem, where I am at, we have a number of occasions in which we've unified around issues. I think one of the things about police brutality, it unifies the African and the African-American community here. We had the Amadou Diallo case. We had the Ousmane Zango case. And on each of these cases where the police, you know, misconduct, their brutality against these African people, brought out the African-American community in support of them. So, I mean, I think one of the unifying aspects is that the Africans began to learn that the conditions that we face in this country as black people can be visited upon them, too.
Mr. Wangu, I know you're writing a book talking about your experiences as an African immigrant here in the United States. One of the things that Herb brings up, and I'm wondering if you've seen that, is when you can find things that are akin, there is this likening to the brotherhood that one might initially think is reticent between blacks and Africans.
Well, historically, I think we've had greater Pan-African consciousness in the years back than what we have now. Due to a number of reasons, the issues of economics. Some African Americans and continental Africans think that what goes to one side is the thing that is lost by the other. And then the issue of miseducation, the common shared interests in terms of heritage, in terms of building the community together, is not what is accentuated in terms of the community education that we have in different places. Previously, as Herb mentioned, the issues of civil rights were at the forefront of the continental African and African-American relationships. But given the widening economic chasm, everyone is struggling to have his or her own slice of the pie to the best of their ability.
It's interesting, Herb Boyd, the idea of this widening economic schism. But what we also see is a widening schism between Africans and African-Americans. Current research, 1990 it being, this is from the Research on Immigration Policy in Washington, D.C., the median household income for an African immigrant was close to $31,000. That compared to an African-American in this country, just under $20,000.
Yeah, I think the figures are even higher around here because I think it was like 43,000, the last figures I saw in that ad. But it certainly points out a disparity. And I think Chido is right in terms of looking at this from an economic standpoint because I think that's where the critical thing occurs between the two communities in terms of the struggle over jobs. And I think that's being mitigated by the fact that the Africans coming in, and you have to understand that many of them, just to get to this country, you know, calls for a lot of certitude, fortitude, resources, and ingenuity, creativity. So they come over, and many of them have at least a college education. So they have an education leg up on many of the African Americans they're competing with in the job market. But at the same time, the Africans, for example, here in Harlem, they have an enclave. 116th Street is almost like Little Africa up here. So they kind of take care of themselves. Now, I don't see too many African Americans going in there to shop and to eat, because there is a cultural gap there. Once upon a time back in the 60s, and I think Chido can confirm this, that it was like a rush on African garb. And we were wearing the kufis, we had the jalabas, we had the dashikas and everything. But that no longer pertains because it's a different kind of attitude, a different kind of mindset out there in the African-American community from a political and cultural standpoint.
Why do you think we've seen that shift, Mr. Wangu?
I think the shift reflects, if you will, the deep personalization that comes with capitalism. It also reflects the fact that there is a corporate disposition that seems to come first, you know, then followed by heritage consideration. There is also a media misperception and misrepresentation of the African heritage more in terms of conflict.
what we've seen of late, most recently in mid-July up in Seattle, an African-American inciting violence against an East African immigrant. How much do you believe the play, the xenophobia, the concern and cry about immigration in this country, most of it played itself out south of the border here, is going to play into the relationship between African and African-Americans?
I think Cheeto makes a good point there in terms of looking at the impact of the media on both communities. Because many of these Africans coming into this country, their perception, what they know about the African-American reality, they've obtained through the media. And looking at the films and the music, I think they get a kind of distorted notion of what our realities are. And so sometimes they buy in or play right into this whole notion of, you know, the African Americans as being, you know, less than human. So they visit upon us the kind of indignities that we've experienced from the Caucasian community here. We have to get over that barrier, some kind of way to begin to connect and understand the commonalities that we share, the kind of issues that should bring us together and not drive us apart. And I think much of that has to do with education in both communities, bringing about, you know, some kind of cultural understanding, breaking down that xenophobia, breaking down the cultural distinctions that would drive us apart.
That's true. And part of the problem is that due to the miseducation, some continental Africans also look at the black American with condescension. And the point of progress for continental Africans, and in fact for African Americans, is that we really do need each other.
Well, one can only hope that we'll take heed to the great singer Frankie Beverly in one of his classic songs, In Fact, We Are One. Gentlemen, I thank you.
Oh, thank you, Ed.
Thank you, Ed.
Herb Boyd is editor of The Black World Today, and Cheeto Wangu is founder and publisher of U.S. Africa Online. For an extended version of this conversation, go to our website at npr.org.